Okay, welcome back. You're welcome back. We're talking about the Catholic Church and the Jesuits with Mitch Allen. And, you know, they play a huge factor even in this pandemic. I mean, even in the history of vaccines, you know, like, you know, coming up with money to pay, you know, Jenner for his medical degree. I mean, that was a paid for, bought for by the church. So I don't know how many people know that one, but anyway, I mean, it's actually true. He was never a medical doctor. He was a charlatan. And but they've always been interested in owning our bodies, owning our soul. There's all these, you know, what do they call them? What do they call them, Mitch? Papal bulls?
Satan's children.
Well, no, they call them papal bulls. Isn't that what Dr. Franco calls them?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, when excuse me. Yeah, they own our bodies and our souls. And
they claim to.
Right. But I'm speaking, you know, as them. And so when Columbus hit the islands and then, you know, discovered North and South America, that automatically was Spanish property. But the Spain is subject to the church, because the church is the head of the whole world, they claim.
Right.
And so if you're not going to be Roman Catholic, then you're a heretic. And they've killed millions. You know, just the... in that one evil.org, well, Collins, he goes into the death camps, and everybody's heard, or most everybody anyway, about 6 million Jews were killed. Mm-hmm. So he goes into depth about there was actually 20 million people killed. Only 6 million of them were Jews. The rest of them were heretics, whether they be Catholic, Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Protestant.
Right.
So.
Actually, it wasn't 6 million Jews. That was a figure. They loved the number six, and everything was in batches of six. So they came up with, there weren't 6 million Jews in that part of Europe at all. So, I mean, the Red Cross figures don't lie. They came up with the figures right after the war of, you know, the people that were dead in concentration camps and stuff, and it wasn't anywhere near 6 million. And so, but Stalin, yeah, that's a whole other thing. Under Stalin, the horrifying, brutal murders of millions. We're talking, they say it's between 20 and 50 million Russians that were murdered under Stalin.
Well, you said something about the Red Cross there. The after World War II, the Red Cross was instrumental in helping 200,000 or 300,000 war criminals escape. They would give them a Red
right.
Cross card, and then they could get ID. And you know, our government was right with them. We helped 100,000 escape and brought, you know, tens of thousands here to the U.S. And we leveled Germany. And the Nazis that we brought here, we paid them excellent money. Some of them were making $5,000 a month when our fathers were maybe making $200 or $300, you know, a month. And so here they are right in the midst of your country, taking over pharmaceuticals, all your health, your media, the space program, the intelligence agencies. Because before, in 1944, we started melding our intelligence agencies with the German intelligence agencies, bringing out hundreds of their intelligence officers.
Right.
And so
it's not just, you know, one enemy. I mean, we get a lot of misperceptions on who really is the enemy. I mean, it ties into the globalist and who controls making money. So, you know, we had our aircraft. And we blowing all these people out of the sky, you know, I mean, leveling the whole country. But we didn't touch IG Farben. IG Farben, the big pharmaceutical company there, that was off limits to our own military. Right. So obviously who controls our military? You know, I mean, there's a lot more to the whole war, and there's a lot of books that have been written about it. David Irving was like an amazing scholar on World War II. He had all the original documentation, and he had books and books on it. He had to renounce all of his study, all his writing, all his books as being false in order just to get out of prison to be with his family before he passed, right? Hopefully he hasn't passed. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun on that one, but I mean, he was getting up in age, and they were going to keep him locked up until he recanted everything that he did. And I mean, so I mean, if we want to really get into some of this World War, you know, II history, you know, you want to go to the people that really did the digging. Because the war criminals are, you know, these families, these bankers, you know, oh my gosh, it goes on and on.
Oh yeah,
the church was definitely involved.
The thing about that is they cover both sides. I mean, you know, our Federal Reserve in the 1920s was shipping tons of gold to Germany, and Hitler used all that to build up his air force and military, which he wasn't supposed to. And just week after week after week, they were just sending hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars worth of pure gold. And all that was, you know, in the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve controlled it all. Most of it was supposed to be in Fort Knox, but who knows how much is left there.
There isn't anything left there. It's all been stolen. But you know, the Japanese were there were good forces, you know, that saw what Hitler was doing early on. There's a lot of other stuff. There's a lot of other things that were playing out. And yeah, he was definitely infiltrated, and you know, things switched. But early on, there was a reason he had 99% of the vote. I mean, the bankers, that they were just taking that country down just like they are this country, you know, with the debauchery and, you know, sex this and sex that, and, you know, prostitution of little children. I mean, they were doing the same thing in Germany, and until Hitler got in and cleaned all that stuff up. And it was like, you know, $50 or whatever for a loaf of bread. I mean, the people were in dire straits, dire poverty, and he started minting their own coin and pulling them out, you know, so they became a problem. I mean, he was on the cover of Time magazine as, you know, the greatest man of all time, or the man of the year, or whatever. I forget what that – but he was actually on the cover, and he was a hero. So, you know, before all of this other stuff started happening to him. I mean, he was wondering about cancer, you know, what was really causing cancer. And he was determined that his country was not going to be affected by cancer. He had a whole bunch of researchers on. I have a whole book on that. It's fascinating because, you know, we wouldn't have this cancer if it wasn't the chemicals and the vaccines, pesticides, herbicides, chemical revolution, and vaccines.
Well, that's what happened when we leveled them, you know. Then they started a major testing for cancer and what sterilizes people and whatnot like that. And then we brought all that information out of the testing and studies into America, and look at read some of your food labels now. I mean, you can't even pronounce the stuff.
Oh,
let alone the vaccines, the ingredients in vaccines.
Well, that's the whole thing. You get information that was intended for good, and then it gets twisted. You know, because who's going to pay? who's paying for the information to be used in a dark manner? It's who has the money. Who has the power to control money, you know, create it out of thin air and buy whatever they want.
Right.
These are dark people, and it always goes back to that. I mean, if you can make money out of thin air and charge interest on it, then you can control the entire world, you know, because you're paying people to do evil. And they're doing it. We're seeing how the depths of evil are happening right now with what's going on in our hospitals. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I've talked to you about, you know, putting them on ventilators, and it's just a death sentence to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, you know, instead of taking all that stuff off the market and saying don't use it, they should have, you know, give everybody some. Everybody in America, as soon as you start feeling the symptoms of COVID, take it, knock it out like Trump did, you know.
Yeah, I don't remember. It was one of the news feeds. You know, they have a whole town in the mayor made everyone in the whole town take ivermectin as a prophylactic to, you know, prevent and treat COVID. So, and it cut their numbers, but that was in Brazil. So, yeah, you sent me an article about, you know, from Tom Rentz too, and how,
right.
And then you also sent me stuff about Fauci was trained at a Jesuit school. Isn't that right?
Who?
Anthony Fauci.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, people can go online and read about him. He praises them up and down, but so did Hitler. You mm-hmm. know, and one of the articles says, you know, that Hitler had nothing on Fauci with the numbers that Fauci's died under him, because he, you know, paid for the gain of function in China. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think he should be arrested, but, you know, he's going to ride off into the sunset with, you know, $400,000 a year in government pension.
Not likely. Now, all these crimes against humanity are coming to a head. And, yeah, no, he's not gonna make it out alive in this this year. Operation Gladio, you that's got that book. I think that's pretty fascinating, too. Don't mean to keep changing subjects. Go ahead.
I never read it. Well, one other thing is there's a free book, a couple of free books online. One is The Secret Terrorists. That'll give you, it's not very long read. It's an easy read. So people should go online and read that. And then the other one is Vietnam, Why Did We Go? And that gets into the whole political situation of why we killed millions of people over there in Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. You know, just bombing them into the Stone Age, which they already were. And almost all of them were not communists. People to live in bamboo huts, you know, they're neither communists, socialists, or whatever. All they're doing is, you know, trying to survive. And but it's by Avro Manhattan. And he goes into depth about, you know, we were killing them for the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church had wormed their way into our government, and they wanted to, it was 10% Catholic and 90% Buddhist. And so they put in Catholic Diem as president, and, you know, he was, him and his brothers, they just tore up Vietnam, and they destroyed the economy, and then we moved a million people out of the north before hostilities really started, and all of them were Catholic, and they just got dumped down in South Vietnam, and the only city really in South Vietnam was Saigon. The rest of it was just little hamlets and farms and whatnot. And they had no money. Excuse me. So they just, you know, it turned into banditry where they, you know, trying to get fresh water and food and whatnot. And then we just named them Viet Cong. So everybody was a Viet Cong. The people that were living there before and the people that came down were Viet Cong. And as it goes in depth to it, you know, about the priests that were working here in America for it. Like Ho Chi Minh was in America. Diem was in America. He was, you know, hiding in a monastery, Catholic monastery, before he went back and they made him president. I mean, I just read, and I want to apologize to people about, this has never happened to me before. My phone said, you know, I had no network uplink before I, you know, finally got a hold of you. And it's going to take a few days, but Ingrid said she would put on the in the chat room some of my information. It's mainly just books and articles. So people themselves, they can go and read it. They don't have to take my information, you know, as fact. But another thing, like all that in that happened in Rwanda, you know, that genocide that happened there back during Clinton administration. Right. That was Catholics killing Protestants and Catholics. Now, the Catholics they were killing were married to a Protestant or they were helping the Protestants out. It's what's called a liberal Catholic. You know, in situation like that, it's just all Roman Catholic or, you know, you're a heretic and you need to die too. That's why people say Hitler attacked the church. Well, he did. If anybody went against him, you know, it didn't matter what you were. If you, you know, went against them, you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, some priests were convicted, nuns were convicted of, you know, firsthand involvement of killing thousands of people. And one nun, she was working at a hospital and letting people come in there to get away from the ground troops that were coming through and killing them. And then after a while, she starts throwing them out the door. And the people out there were just hacking them to death. And the Vatican, after these people were convicted, the Vatican was saying they were not sure that it was the right situation that they were convicted. Well, the Vatican's outlook is not ecumenicism. It's us versus them. So when they said that they were wary of that decision that they were convicted, is because of their outlook, you know, killing people is no big deal as long as you're a heretic.
Right.
And that's been going on for centuries and centuries.
Right. Yeah, there's a really good, there's all kinds of articles that pop up, but you know, when you look at Jesuits in Vietnam, they've been in Vietnam for over 400 years.
I know. And
that's what they're claiming.
They came in with a French army. They marched right in with the army and took over. They're like that. That's what they did to Mexico and South America. And they blame it on the diseases that decimated the populations. But when our founding fathers and whatnot, when they came in the 1600s on the East Coast there were no big smallpox die-offs of the Indian populations. So that right there, you tell you that, you know, that was all lies, that the very world over, the life on the far side, that'll get into, you know, why they were slaughtered. If they can't kill you or make you a slave, they're not happy. And, you know, I hate to say that because I got quite a few Catholic friends. Some of them
well,
really
this is, I like
in
what,
my lifetime.
Yeah, I should print this one out for you. It's 10 Facts You Must Know About the Jesuits. So it starts out with these quotes from, you know, Jesus and Matthew. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And then it has a quote from Francesco Borgia, third Jesuit superior general. We came in like lambs and will rule like wolves. Yeah. It kind of ties in, you think?
Yeah, but, you know, means our media is controlled. I mean, you're not going to, you'll hear it on the radio like we're talking now sometimes, but the TV is never going to give you the other side. It's like this the vaccines. The TV will never have somebody like you on the TV talking about, you know, the right. side effects or anything else. It's all just one-sided. And all the commercials okay. are Pfizer and Merck and this and that and the other, you know, they run them.
Okay, I just have a question. If I remember correctly, the Jesuits came into being, when was they found? Was it 1400, 1300?
15,
I mean, how long?
About 1540.
Because it says Pope Clement the 14th abolished the Jesuits as a society in 1773. And
right.
I mean, there were a lot of time, no other entity on earth was expelled and suppressed by Catholic and non-Catholic countries as the Jesuits. Well, that was also true earlier, before the Jesuits, it was the Jews. That's why it was so. It's always so interesting to me how those two books read so similarly, like they have the same author, the Protocols of Zion and Vatican's Assassin, which has the whole protocols of the Jesuits. So, but I mean, they really seriously read the same. If anyone wanted to do a comparison, but whatever. Anyway, so yeah, right. this is good. It has a lot of good stuff on it. It's a good summary. Anyway, put it in the chat. I put it in the chat room, by the way.
Okay, your listeners, it's going to be a few days before I get my my information to Ingrid before she can put it up, but I'd like to ask everybody to take a look at it. Here's another one for you. I donate to Bishop Accountability. It's a website out of Boston area. Mm-hmm. And the people were Catholics.
And that's called Bishop Accountability, B-I-S-H-O-P?
Yeah.
Okay.
.org. And on their website, they have about 7,000 priests, bishops, cardinals, and deacons and lay people. Well, not too many lay people, but here in the U.S. since the 1950s, who are sexual abusers. Most of them are pedophiles or pederasts. And they have a lot of pictures of them. Got their birth dates, their names, where they were at, what they were charged with, and then the outcome, convictions and whatnot like that. And for the past 3 years, they've added another 2,000 names because people, Catholics are starting to come forward and telling what happened to them. And the district attorneys of the states and counties and everybody are using their lists to go after them. And because the people just, you know, wouldn't go to the to the district attorneys or to the law, there's a big cover-up going on with pedophilia. The Transformation of America, Kathy O'Brien's book talks about that and sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. And, but anyway, I donate to them. You know, the one guy, Brian, I believe is his name, that runs it, he was abused. So, you know, he's just doing this to help people out. And, you know, what strikes me is funny is Catholics that are still going to church and whatnot, you know, on mm-hmm. Judgment Day, what's God going to tell them? Well, your whole life, you know, you gave money to these people. And it's not right. It's not that all of them are sex abusers, but the church has covered up for them for centuries. You know, they think it's normal. It's like Jerry Sandusky. To him, it wasn't anything bad. It was just normal.
Uh-huh.
And that is one crazy outlook on life.
Uh-huh.
You know, but...
Yeah, you know, there's such a huge tie-in with the Jesuits and the Jews, seriously. There's in our chat room, Mer just did a great post, you know, which I, you know, totally concur with. It's just like it's hard for me to remember all this stuff off the top of my head. I did a deep dive on this, you know, before I even met Don and the Idaho Observer and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Well,
I'm just saying, I did a deep dive. It must have been in the 80s. Yeah, it was in the 80s when I was looking at all this
actually,
stuff.
Actually, Phelps. In Phelps's Vatican Assassin, he goes into that the top Jews and the Jesuits are in cahoots with the Zionism and in Israel. So,
yeah, well, she put the first Jesuits were crypto Jews. Ignatius Loyola himself was a crypto Jew of the occult Kabbalah. A crypto Jew is a Jew who converts to another religion and outwardly embraces the new religion while secretly maintaining Jewish practices. As John Torrell explains, in 1491, San Ignacio de Loyola was born in the Basque province of, Guipuzcoa, or whatever, in Spain. His parents were Muranos. And at the time of his birth, the family was very wealthy. As a young man, he became a member of the Jewish Illuminati order in Spain. And as a cover for his crypto-Jewish activities, he became very active as a Roman Catholic. And in May 20th, 1521... Ignatius, as he was now called, was wounded in a battle and became a semi-cripple, so he was unable to succeed in the military and political arena, so he started a quest for holiness and eventually ended up in Paris, where he studied, and he founded the Jesuit order in 1539. There you go. Okay, stay tuned. We'll see how things are kind of crazy.
Okay.
If you like holiness.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back, to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Immunize Wisely, and the topic is Jesuits. And it seems to me that, you know, since the founder was a crypto Jew, you know, he kind of hid, and Ignatius, you know, he was the founder, seems to me that they infiltrated completely the Catholic Church as we know it. And so, yeah, definitely the wolves in sheep's clothing kind of thing, for sure. And anyhow, we are going to take callers, and we have Sherry in Kansas. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Hi, Ingrid and Mitch. That's what I remember reading something about, like that, about Ignatius Loyola. But, you know, the Catholic Church has always been corrupt, I think. And I was raised Catholic. I wanted to tell you about something that was in one issue of National Geographic back in 1919. I don't remember what month it was. It was something that belonged to a friend of mine, but she let me borrow it for a while. And it was an article by former President William Taft. It was before he became a Supreme Court justice. But he had written an article in it about the Jews in Europe. And this was right after World War I ended. And mm-hmm. he actually, you know, I think at the time he was teaching at Princeton. And it was, he gave the, you know, the how many Jews were in the last census at that time. And I imagine he had pretty good references. But, mm-hmm. and I did not write it down. I wanted to copy the article, but the thing was so fragile and I didn't want to break the back of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And but the country that had the most was only like 270,000. But there, all the numbers he gave did not equal 2 million. And there is
right.
no way within, you know, 15, 20 years that they could have gotten 6 million Jews in Europe, just because, you know, it was war torn and the country was in depression.
Right. No,
there's
it was
no way there could have ever been 6 million Jews there.
Well, that's clear. It was an impossibility, and that was proven by historians over and over again. That was a number that ties into their Talmud. You know,
right.
their.
Yeah, I do remember reading that the number that the Red Cross said contemporaneously, and they had access to the camps, was something like 335,000 people, all people that died in those camps. And you've got
that's exactly right. Yeah, you're good. Your memory's good, because it was. I remember it was in the 300,000s, and that's probably, you probably have the figure exactly right. I just remember 300-something.
Well, and they were cutting off the supplies to the camps. The Germans couldn't even feed their own soldiers, you know. But they
right.
sure weren't bombing Jewish hospitals and stuff, so... You know,
right.
anyway, that's all I had, Ingrid.
No, that's great, Sherry. That's a great addition, because, you know, it always goes back to this, you know, I wonder if they're human, you know, the same group of people that infiltrate, you know, different groups and religions. And now the Roman Catholic Church is completely taken over by the Jesuits for all intents and purposes.
Well, and yeah, but the history, there were popes before Christianity, you know, popes in Rome
right.
before Christianity. So, you know, this, and,
right.
you know, it's not that I ever learned in the Catholic Church, but I've since learned that, you know, the Catholic Church pretty much always been corrupt, because Christianity wasn't supposed to be like the Catholic Church turned it into, you know.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Well, certainly if you go back to the original teachings of Jesus, he never intended there to be a church made in his name.
Yeah,
he was trying to teach us by example to have a direct relationship with our Creator, our Father in Heaven. So there you go.
Well, and the what do they call it, the throne that the Pope sits on is supposed to have all these pagan symbols on it.
yeah. Well, you look at the roof of the Vatican, and it looks like a reptile, a snake with eyes. It's very creepy. So, yeah, there's
and
all kinds
of... And I believe they have an obelisk there, too, don't they?
Yep.
They're
yep,
on the Vatican.
They do. Oh, it's so creepy, all of it. It really is. But, yeah, that's the main thing. They always needed to control the masses, and they didn't want anyone reading, either. That was a big deal. They... you know, before they had the printing press, you know, everything was handwritten, and they wanted that, you know, only the elite to be able to know how to read and transcribe information.
Well, I went to Catholic school for 9 years, and we never read out of the Bible. We had catechisms, but they never had us study the Bible. You know?
Right.
So, anyway. That's all I had.
It's all subject, well, that's the whole thing. It's subject to interpretation. Then we had the printing press. They wanted people to read, and they wanted to control the information that people read. So, you know, now we have it, you know, obviously in the nth degree. But do you have any comment, Mitch?
Well, before the printing press and then even after it, the only Bibles they had were in the churches or monasteries, and they, in the churches they were chained to the pulpit. They didn't want nobody taking it. But after the printing press, when people started having Bibles, you know, they were, if they were caught with a Bible, they were punished. If it was a Protestant that denied the transubstantiation of the host being turned into the body of Christ, you know, they went straight to the burning at the stake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine some of the things. Well, it's like our country, you know, they used to tar and feather people. I mean, can you imagine somebody getting hot tar and feathers on them today?
Yeah.
And then kicking them out of town and you got to go find your way. I mean,
does anyone know the history of Holy Communion? I mean, that would be very interesting because I consider that, you know, a blatant form of cannibalism. I mean, that's certainly nothing that Jesus ever taught. You know, I mean, he symbolically, you know, I mean, we, you know, he ate bread and wine with his disciples, but, you know, they've turned it into something that's was never supposed to be. It was, you know, to, you know, have the symbolism of the bread as the body and the wine as the blood. I mean, that's just, that's, you know, you're supposed to invite his spirit into your life,
I never thought about that when I was growing up, but it is pretty creepy.
Well, if you got a priest that just graduated to some seminary, and he becomes a priest, he's, you know, 23, 24 years old, he goes to say Mass, so he now is able to create Jesus Christ in the host and his blood in the wine. I mean, now think about that.
I'll let somebody else talk to you. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you. So the Fabian Society has this really funky looking symbolic thing of a wolf with another animal tied onto him. I wish Mer would call in and tell me what that symbolism means. It's a very interesting symbol of the Fabian Society. It's like the wolf, the black wolf, and a sheep baby being tied to the back, and the wolf carrying the sheep away. I would think that's what it is. Maybe comment in the chat room. I was just like, very interesting. This she posted the... They're in the chat room, immunizewisely.chatandgo.com. She posted their, their crest.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's very, very creepy. The black wolf with an animal tied on its back that doesn't really look like a sheep quite, but a little bit. It's certainly symbolic of a sheep. That's what I think, anyway.
Well, that's the thing about Europe, though. They got a bunch of statues on their buildings and churches and whatnot, just creepy animals.
Uh-huh.
Gargoyles and stuff like that.
Wow.
Oh. There's another thing. During the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, the church ran everything in Europe. And, they're the ones that kept the Flat Earth Society going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're the ones that, you know, sparked that, to keep people, you know, under control.
Mm-hmm.
And, One thing about the Lincoln assassination, you know, there was a Catholic priest by the name of Chiniquy. You can go online and say conversations between Lincoln and Chiniquy. And he was telling Lincoln that the Jesuits were going to kill him. You know, I heard before I started studying all this, I had heard that Lincoln was having dreams about it. But he defended Chiniquy in a sex abuse trial. The priest set him up that he was having an affair with a 15 or 16-year-old girl. But Lincoln beat him, and Chiniquy was crying after that trial. And Lincoln said, "Why are you crying?" He says, "Because you signed your death warrant." These guys never forget. They never give up. And at the Lincoln's assassination, Booth, he was killed, okay? But eight people were convicted. Four of them were hung. And almost all of them were Catholics. And the military court, all the people on the court knew that Mary Surratt, she was the lady that was hung. It was her boarding house where they were all meeting the conspirators. And there was priests coming and going constantly there. And so all the court knew that, you know, the Jesuits were behind that assassination. But they didn't do anything about it because it was after the Civil War and they had so much bloodshed. That the only thing they did do is broke off ties with the Vatican. And we didn't have an ambassador until Reagan put one in. So that was over 100 years that, you know, we didn't want nothing to do with them. But under the laws, like today, you know, the Catholics are just flooding this country. So one of these days it might turn out like Rwanda, where, you know, you just sort of wide open civil war. I mean, most of the blacks in America are Baptist, not just Protestant, but they're Baptist. And look at the problems that the cities are having with the shootings with them. Wow. And most of the drugs are crossing the southern border, so all the people that are bringing it up are Catholic. And it helps.
Okay, that's a huge thing. I really want to talk about that, Mitch. The stuff going on the southern border where all these pregnant women were brought in, getting shelter in these Catholic churches near the border, and then they just disappear. And, you know, we know that the Catholic Church is very involved in sex trafficking. So, and then we have these young men coming in the middle of the night and being flown all around the country. What do you think of the involvement of the Catholic Church and the Jesuits?
Well, the Pope, I don't know, what was it, 2 or 3 years back, he gave Mexico a few $100,000 to support the caravans coming in. But that was just a pittance of money because Trump had signed a bill that Congress passed to give $100 million to the Catholic Church in Iraq. And this, the COVID bailout last year, or in 20 and 21, the Catholic Church made billions off that. And, you know, the large employers aren't supposed to get the money, but Catholic Church talked Congress into saying that, oh, well, we only have so many people working in this diocese. You know, so every little diocese was broken off the Catholic Church as a whole. And during the COVID, they were receiving more donations from their Catholics. They didn't need the money, but, you know, they took it anyway, and that's billions of taxpayers' dollars. I could use a few hundred thousand or whatnot if they're going to give money away. But it just never quits. Like I say, that $500, $600 billion a year in interest on the Federal Reserve, that's going right into the Jesuits' pocket. You can't hardly prove it, but they're the ones that control the big banks. The Rothschilds have, you know, there's some excellent articles on the internet, just put Rothschilds bankers for the Vatican. And there's another one, Rockefeller. In early part of the 20th century, he went into all the medical schools and started giving them grants.
Right.
Because they had found out that they could make pharmaceuticals out of oil. And so the schools at that time in the early 1900s, they all taught about 50% allopathic and 50% homeopathic. You know, all the doctors, you know, will tell you, you know, what's good for you, not necessarily giving you. And Rockefeller destroyed that.
We know that for sure. Yeah. Okay, we have a guest. I mean, a caller. Murr in Wisconsin. Thank you, Murr.
Oh, greetings.
Yeah, great post. Thanks for the great post in the chat room. It's, I'm going to be sharing them with Mitch.
Oh, good. Yeah, because, you know, these are, you know, no gooders, that's for sure. But they're not in charge. The ones that control the money control the propaganda. And you can basically see that in everything. Rothschild took over the Vatican banking worldwide, all the Catholic universal banking in 1823. But what I wanted to tell you about was way back at the beginning. And you can find it in Acts chapter 8 and in the 20-22 through 24 thereabout. Simon Magus was a sorcerer and would do tricks and magic with fire in particular, because phosphorus over there, you know, in that area is so ignitable. And so that was his power thing. But when he saw the Holy Spirit had come upon when they were first Christians there in Antioch, and he wanted to pay to get these, be able to do these tricks, is what he saw it as, right? And so he said, no, your money can't buy this. So then 322 A.D., we get the skull and bones, skull and crossbones, the skull and femur of Simon Magus. What happened was Constantine and his mother, Helen, consulted an oracle, like at Delphi, right, which is a virgin that sits over seismic fumes and gets answers. And they asked where his bones could be found, and they found this skull and crossed femurs, right? That's where you get the skull and crossbones, and you get the 322 A.D. Some people think that it's a Bible verse, 322 Genesis, but this is what it is. It's a date. Because that's when they started with this, and from there, a lot of people tried to, Joe Atwell's one, Caesar's Messiah, where they try to make up that Jesus Christ was nothing but this made-up thing. But yet, a lot of these people will say they believe in the Old Testament, but every one of the books of the Old Testament prophesies of Jesus coming.
That's
every
right.
Every one of them. So, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it like that. And this is the whole crux of the problem right now, and has been forever, but we're really seeing it. The last call I got to make on January 6, 2019, before I was incommunicado for about 3 months, was Steve Elkins had his Sunday afternoon show at the time, and those were the last couple words I said, I mean, that were came through me. Is Christ or Antichrist? Everything boils down to that.
Yeah. It is. It's either, they're either for Christ or against him. It's totally true.
So if someone calls you an anti-Semite, say, no, I'm a pro-Christ. You know? So, but that was the beginning. And they also have a statue of Simon Magus over near the Vatican. He's the second.
Really?
He's the second Simon Peter. So when they say, you know, that was the thing most Catholics are taught. You know, it was the church was going to be built on the rock, Peter, Petra, right, the rock. But he's the second Simon Peter, and they don't figure that in there. So it's always been that way. And this country, sadly to say, but it's true. And actually, it's not sad. People say, oh, I don't want to hear it because then I lose hope. Well, you have some weak hope or some weak faith because because this country was started that way. First off, Columbus was a Jew named Zarco from Cuba, Portugal, Sephardic Jew. And you can look into that. I posted some links there, too. You maybe share with him. But
okay, I will.
Yeah. Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton was George Washington's treasurer, and he ran his administration. George Washington was assassinated. They drew out 7/8 of his blood, okay, for a sore throat. But he was also a speculator. He was just like the rest of them. Most of them, the Federalists, there were a few good, but the Anti-Federalists and the ones that were good kept out of this Constitution. When they did the Constitution, they did it up in an upstairs room, covered all the windows, and swore each other to 50 years of secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
And this was meant to be a central government. Okay? It was took away the power of the states. And the whole thing was called, it was supposed to actually improve the Articles of Confederacy, which were for the states, and made the federal government weak, which it should be. Should be nothing,
right.
Basically. Shouldn't be, shouldn't have all this control.
Right.
So anyway, Alexander Hamilton was a Jew. There weren't supposed to be any Jews in government. You know, we'd learned our lesson there, right? And
right.
Just this last August, a writer came out and bragging about, a Jewish writer, poor Wonker, his name is, I think, Poor Wonker. I'll look that up and post it, too. But they're bragging about him now, Hamilton being a Jew. So, and Abigail Adams said he did lasciviousness. Personified, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know what they did. You know, George Washington, they're changing history on that, too. George Washington was very opposed to the smallpox vaccination. He wouldn't allow it for his troops. And now they're changing that and saying that he mandated it for his troops.
Isn't that wild? I mean, it's just...
Yeah, they're changing history all the time. You have to get the original text. It's very hard, but that's why we've, you know, really tried to grab some of these older books.
Well, listen to this, too. Michael Gaddy, his site is rebelmanman.org, and he had .com, but he's doing that up for some notes and stuff, and he's moving everything to this .org, rebelmadman.org. Rebelmadman.org. I'll put that in there, too. But he has some shows on Revolution Radio, and he teaches true history. He's a teacher, and he has a very interesting way of doing it, asking questions and filling, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
Oh, my gosh, we ran out of time. Well,
whoops.
Thank you.
All their letters to each other. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mitch. I really appreciate we finally connected. So I will share this information in the chat room, and I'll go ahead and share it with you, okay? So when you go to the library, you'll see all kinds of stuff, okay?
Thank you, Mitch. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, bye-bye.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.